not so much fun. Turn me on right here, brother, a little bit. I hope that you'll listen tonight and pay attention. I hope you'll let the Lord speak to your heart. I'm looking for some scripture to back up what I'm going to preach. There's bound to be some in here somewhere. No, they are. I want somebody to give me that story. I've done found it once, but I want the other one in the other gospel, where the woman anointed the feet of Jesus. And she, you know, with her, and wiped his feet, I believe, with her tears in one of the gospels. And the Lord Jesus looked at her and said, "She hath done what she could." Is that in John? I was looking in Luke. Can somebody get that right quick? Now I want us to read that. I don't usually do this. Matter of fact, I've never done this, exactly what I'm going to do tonight. So if you're a visitor and this is the first time you've ever been here, I hope you won't think it's like this all the time. Because I know what it's like. I've listened to preachers. Man, I couldn't hardly stand to listen to them. Because you know what they was going to preach on before they got started. You got it? Mark 14. There you go. Mark chapter 14. And this story here is dealing with the woman who had the alabaster box of ointment and spikenard, very precious. And she broke it and poured it on the Lord's head. Now look at verse number 4. Mark chapter 14, verse 4. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you," and this is fulfilling this scripture tonight, what I'm doing, "wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, so that she hath done shall be spoken of a memorial for her." Now I'm not going to be long tonight. I'm going to be real brief and to the point. I want us to pray. Let's pray for all them boys that's gone off preaching tonight. Brother Page, Brother Andy, Brother Donnie, I think Patrick, a bunch of them. Brother Brady had a preacher's blowout tonight, and they're down there preaching. And then Brother Page is over here at Eastfield, I believe, preaching. And let's pray for them tonight. And Brother Ricky Bolick and Brother, what's his name? Brother McKinney on the mission field and others, they preach tonight. And then let's pray that God's will be done here tonight. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I'm glad and I'm thankful tonight that we're able to come to church. God, I'm praising you tonight that we're able to be here and that we are here. Now I pray, oh God, that your will be done. I thank you for the good singing, for the songs of Zion. I pray, oh God, that your will be done now in the message. God, I pray if there's visitors here who may not understand, that you would open their understanding, that they would. I pray, oh God, that you would move on the hearts of your people and work miracles tonight and do what ought to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's a woman in the Bible who the Word of God said, done what she could. I heard an old saying one time, and I'm going to use this saying for just a few minutes tonight. And as I said, I'll be brief because I want to speak to you to the point and get it across. Somebody said an old saying one time, and they said that if we'll do our best, God will do the rest. And I believe that tonight, don't you? I've always told people that if we'll do our best, God, something's wrong. Brother Steve, can you hang out here a minute and listen to me? There you go. Turn it down just a hair. Can y'all understand what I'm saying back there? Okay. If we'll do our best, God will do the rest. Now, there's a little boy over in the other one of the part of the Gospels, and the gospel said that they had a need. And the Lord Jesus had 5,000 people that he had to feed. And as he fed this, was going to feed this 5,000 people, it just happened to come to pass that he didn't have any food. And you know this story as how the little boy gave him what he had, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and brother, he fed the Lord, after the Lord blessed that 5 loaves and 2 fishes, took that 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and fed a multitude. Now, what made the difference? It wasn't the little boy, it wasn't the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, it was the blessings of God upon what he gave. Now tonight, I guess most of you already know, we had a meeting of the men the other night, and you know, we just got through with this building program, and boy, we come through this thing in flying colors. I ain't kidding you. And the Lord just blessed us, and we just got this building finished, and about last week, we had a stack of bills coming in about that high. As a matter of fact, for 2 weeks, we've had bills coming in about that high. And we've been low. I kid you not, brother. We have been low. And so tonight, by the help of God, we're going to have to come up with some dough. That's what the message is about. We're going to have to do it. I believe God's able to do it. I'm not a TV preacher that harps on money. And if you think that, you're just letting the devil talk to you. I'm not one of these TV evangelists that's always saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. If you think that, you're letting the devil talk to you. That's not our case at all. But we have entered into a project here. We've entered into a step here in the last year or so that is so gigantic, I don't believe any of us realize what we've done, really. I tell you, brother, I begin to look at this thing. I begin to admire. The other day I come up here, and you know, we ain't got my office fixed over. I ain't got no carpet, and there's a bunch of equipment laying around, stuff like that. And so I come in here to study and pray, and I just stretched out here on the floor. And I laid right here for a while, and I prayed, and boy, I began to look around. Man, I looked up, and I thought of all the nails that had been drove. And I thought of all the work that had been done. And brother, all the men of this church that had labored and work. And brother, I tell you, it got a hold of my soul. And I thought, God, just like Brother Dale said, God has got this building here just as sure as my name's what it is, brother. And you're sitting in those seats. Almighty God has blessed Barron, North Carolina by putting this thing here. And I tell you tonight, brother, I thought about that. And you know, we had to have this, and we had to have that, and we had to have this, and we had to have that. And we need a bunch more, to be honest with you. And brother, it had to get done. I went way out on a limb. And brother, we're going to have to raise some money tonight in order to pay off some quick indebtedness that we have. I believe that's the way a preacher ought to talk to people. Plain, where you can understand it. Now, I want you to notice something about this old boy here. I want us to notice what I said. I said, if we'll do our best, God will do the rest. Now, God doing the rest is the great part and the wonderful part. Us doing our best comes first. If we don't do our best, I don't really expect God to do the rest. But if we do our best, I believe God, brother, if he has to grow a money tree in the parking lot and let dollar bills come out of it, I believe he's able to do it. And I believe he would do it, brother, if it had to be done. But I believe, first of all, we have to do our best. You know, I talked about that story a little bit, and I thought about that little old boy. And that little old boy here, he's out there, and he had 5 loaves. Now, when we think of a loaf of bread, we think big old hunk about that big. That wasn't what it was. He just had little loaves. I mean, he just had his lunch. And he had 5 loaves. Here's 5 little loaves of bread. There's 1, 2, 3, and there's a couple more here, 4, and 5. There's his 5 loaves of bread, and he had a couple of little old fish. Now, there's 5,000 people out here that didn't have anything to eat. And so the little boy said, I'll take my 5 loaves and I'll take my 2 fishes and I'll give them to Jesus. Now, you know what that little boy could have done? That little boy could have said, somebody come over to him and they said, man, we need an offering. We need your 5 loaves and your 2 fishes. Now, if that little boy had been like a lot of us, you know what he'd have done? What would he have done? Somebody tell me. Amen. He'd have said, no. This is my dinner. I've got to eat, you know. And they said, well, what about these 5,000 people? He says, well, what about me? This ain't enough to feed them 5,000 people anyway. I want to keep my dinner. And they said, well, don't you believe in giving to the Lord? Sure, I believe in giving to the Lord. I mean, don't you believe in tithing, being faithful? Well, sure I do, but this is my dinner. I need it. I'm hungry. And they said, well, don't you believe in giving? He said, yeah, I believe in giving, but you caught me at a bad time. And the Lord showed me that this evening. And brother, we talked about it. There couldn't be a worse time for us to take up an offering than tonight. You know that? I mean, brother, here it is, the 4th of July. I mean, you done, half of you got laid off, and the other half done blowed their money down at Carowinds or Gatlinburg or somewhere, and then brother, you missed a payday, and the bills come due, and we just took up a big offering Sunday before last. You said, Brother Danny, it's a bad time. Amen. It is a bad time. You ever know of a good time? I mean, if it's in the fall, school starting, and the kids got to go back to school and got to have school clothes. And after that's Christmas when we're broke. And then it's the first of the year, and it costs so much to heat the house, and the light bill triples, and they just ain't hardly no good time. And that little boy said, you caught me at a bad time. I ain't got nothing but these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said it wouldn't feed 3 people. And they said, well, let me ask you this, son. I'm not asking you to take care of the whole need. I'm asking you, are you willing to do what you can? I thought of something the other day that shocked me. I had Brother Tony up here. And I said, Brother Tony, where are we staying? I said, we got bills to pay. He said, we got bills to pay. He said, we can't pay. He said, we're running low. We got to have some money. And I said, okay, if that's what we got to do. You know what we've done ever since we started this church? We've done what we had to do. Amen? You say, well, Brother Danny, what if worse comes to worse? Hey, man, I'd go get me a job with the state if I have to do it. You do what you have to do. You don't do what you want to do. Brother, you do what you have to do. Jesus Christ didn't look forward to walking up a mountain with a rugged cross on his back. He done it because it had to be done for sinners to be saved. He said something that struck me. He said, preacher, and he's right too. And he didn't have no way of knowing this, but he just figured it out, and he's right. He said, we got some members that ain't tithing. And that hurt me. Because I thought Chins was the greatest church in the world. And I said, no, in my heart. But I know he's telling the truth. This church, you mean to tell me we've got members in this church that's a sigh, they won't even give God what's his? God forbid. It ain't no wonder they can't get a prayer answer. It ain't no wonder the young'uns is rebellious. It ain't no wonder they can't get nothing right with God. Brother, if you're too sorry to tithe, you're not much of a Christian. I can tell you that right now. I can't hear you. Amen. You say, well, I just don't like to go to hear a church where a preacher preaches about money. Come back in the next 52 Sundays and you won't hear it. I hope. If you listen tonight, you won't. I tell you what, brother, I couldn't believe it. We have members of this church that don't tithe. Listen, you ain't even give nothing till you give that tithe. If all you're doing is giving 10%, you ain't give nothing yet. What you give is over and above that 10%. That 10% belongs to God already. How in the world? Now, the churches some people go to, they're wrong, but I can't hardly blame them for not tithing. Brother, if you're supporting some sorry outfit that's misusing the money, and brother sending it off to some infidel and running all over the country with it and printing different versions of the Bible, or you're sending off over here to some hot shot to set them in a big office somewhere and drink Cokes in front of an air conditioner, or if you were sending it off to do this or that, or you're just piling it up in the bank, I can almost understand why some people, but this church, I can't believe that you'd settle on brand new pews and walk on brand new carpet and drive on a brand new carpet, Lord, and brother, not even put your part in. God, have mercy on your sorry soul. Listen, if every member of this church would do what they ought to, we wouldn't have a need. I wouldn't have to preach like I'm preaching tonight. Now, I know I'll be criticized for this. I know I will. There's some of you visitors. You ain't never been here before, and you'll go out and say, yeah, Danny Castle just preaching for money. I ain't going to get a dime out of what I'm saying tonight. Matter of fact, I'll lose some probably because I won't practice what I preach. Hey, I've let bills go this week. You know why? Because I'm going to put it in the church tonight. That's why. You say, well, First Federal don't want to do without your house payment, and God don't want to do without my offering neither. I got to wondering, how many of you people in here has got a job? Raise your hand. Oh, my soul. And I'd say most of you make $100 a week. If 200 people made $100 a week and give their 10, that's $2,000 a week. Now, everybody I know makes more than $100 a week if they work a full-time job. And some of you make 3, and some of you make 4, and some of you make 5. I hope there's somebody in here that makes $1,000 a week. Man, I hope. More power to you, brother. I ain't a bit jealous. You let you worry with it. You say, why, Brother Danny? Because this church, I'll just tell you something a minute. I speak as a fool, okay? Y'all gonna think I'm bragging. I hate to do this. Every time I preach like this, I get sick after church. I go home. Now this morning, son, I was on shouting ground. I preached on salvation and we had sinners coming off. Son, that's my line, right? That's my bag, brother. That's what I enjoy doing. But this kind of night, I hate it. Reason I hate it is because you hate it. And I hate what you hate, okay? I don't like for you to hate me. But anyway, you know what? I was out here the other day, right outside the building. There's some old fella walked over here like this. He's looking around. Now, I had on old clothes. I'd been up here working everything. We was working with the lights. We was working with the sound. And we was working. Now, and we was going to, and I had on some old clothes. And I was just going to study and fool around that day and get some stuff done up here. And he didn't know I was a preacher. And his wife is at the doctor. And he come over here. That's one good thing. Sometimes I'll just sneak up here and have an old pair of blue jeans on or something, you know, just mingle in with the crowd. And this old guy come over and he started talking. I said, how you doing? He said, oh, I'm doing pretty good. He's looking at the outside of the building out there. I said, he said, boy, it sure is nice. And I said, yeah, sure is. I said, where you go to church at? He told me a certain place where he went to church. And he started talking. And he said, you know, ain't not a lot of people say this church here. I said, uh-oh. He said, this church here been accused of being the hardest working, fastest growing church in town. And I said, yeah, that's right. He said, you know, they tell me, he said, I don't know. He said, me and my wife been thinking about coming up here. He said, they say it's the only place about it in town you can go now and hear a sermon. I went, woo! Hey, glory to God! I didn't say glory to God because you couldn't hear a sermon somewhere else. I said it because you can hear one here. Man, I just strained my vocal cords or something. I did. I ain't kidding you. I hurt my goozle. I'm serious. It's a killing me. Well, let me see if I can get through the rest of this. And I said, well, we'd like to have you come up. And he started asking about some scripture and about the angels at the tomb, stuff like that. And I started saying, yeah, and it's over here and this, that. And I started explaining to him. He looked at me and he said, are you a preacher? I said, yeah. And I talked to him and invited him up sometime. And I tried to encourage him everywhere I went this week. Everywhere I went. That's all I heard. You know, it used to be, when you going to get in that building? I'm glad I had to quit listening to that. Everywhere I go to buy gas, everywhere I go to buy groceries, everywhere I go to the post office, every time I stick my head outside the door, somebody's talking. And I was at a meeting where some preachers was getting ready for the camp meeting. And the guy who was directing a certain part of the camp meeting said, he said something that shook me and scared me, but it thrilled me. He said, "You've got the whole town wondering what you're doing down there." I ain't bragging, brother. That scares the fire out of me. And I can't believe that as God has blessed us like He has, that we'd have members sit here week after week and rob God of your tithes and your offerings. You say, "Well, Brother Danny, I just can't afford." It ain't no wonder you can't afford to do nothing. Stealing from God. You say, "Well, I gotta have me a new car." Hey, I ain't got no new car. I traded cars and went down 2 years just to get one with lower miles on it, so I wouldn't have to spend no money. You say, "Why?" You do what you have to do. You don't have a place like this without people making sacrifices. This morning, before I come to church, phone rung, long distance. Some woman, she had a Georgia accent. And she said, "Is this the Reverend Danny Castle?" And I'll just go ahead and say yes, rather than get into a big long thing. And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Is this him?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Can you tell me where your church is?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "We was traveling through there about a year ago down in South Carolina and picked up your program on Gaffney." She said, "You was preaching to young people." And she said, "I want to hear that sermon, and I'm going to come by there, and we want to come to your church." She said, "We're going on our vacation to PTL." And all, that's what she said. She said, "Where's your church at?" And I said, "It's right off East Court Street. You go down." She said, "We're going to come." I reckon she's some kind of Pentecostal. I don't know. I have no idea. But Sunday is something way down there in Georgia, a pulling her and a driving her. I mean, calling long distance, getting the wreck. You know why, brother? There's somebody here when we meet in this place. Brother, there's somebody here. He's bigger than I am. And brother, he's bigger than this choir. He's bigger than everything. That's God, and we ought to honor His presence. Man told me, he was here that first Sunday morning, a businessman. He said, "That first Sunday morning changed my mind." He said, "You know, I'd heard these rumors and I'd heard this gossip." I've heard some pretty good gossip lately. Hadn't y'all? I've heard a little bit of good gossip. It was gossip, but it's pretty good for a change. One guy come up to me the other day. I was somewhere eating or something. He come up to me and he said, "I heard Jim's had 2,000 Sunday." That's what he said. That's exactly what he said. You say, "What'd you say?" I let him think what he wanted to. No, I didn't. I didn't say that. I said, "No, we didn't have 2,000 Sunday. We had 800 somewhere around in there. I don't know." Hey, and, you know, words got around, brother. That may be helping us out a little bit now. But anyway, he said, "My attitude's changed." He said, "I'd heard this gossip until I started believing part of it." You know what got a hold of him? The bus kids. He came the first Sunday morning and seen them little bus kids up here. Saw Sister Lucy leading them, Brother Jack and all these people up here. And he said this. Man, I about shouted. I consider it a compliment from a businessman. He said, "As I sat there," he said, "I saw these little kids up there," and he said, "there's not many people willing to reach out and get them." He said, they're not a financial asset. They're a liability. Bus ministry don't make money for a church. It costs thousands and thousands of dollars. A church who is just operating for money, you won't see them running buses trying to bring in the unwanted, brother, and the poor, and the maimed, and the halt. You won't see them doing that. They'll just cater to the other type folks that can help them out. You know what? He told me that. He said, "I changed my mind." And he said, "Then as the singing," he said, "you could see it in the people. There's something real." That's what he said. You might be like that old fella, and I'm saying this, and I'm going to hush. He said, he was at church one night. And he was real bad off, didn't have money to pay his bills. He was in bad shape financially. And he looked in his billfold, and he had $2.
And the preacher got up that night, and the preacher started telling about a family in the church that was had some problems and stuff. And he said, folks, we're going to take up an offering for this needy family. Boy, that old boy said my heart broke, and I started caring about this other family because I knew what it was like to be in bad shape. He said, I looked at my bill phone and didn't have $2. And he said, well, I'm going to give him one of them dollars. He wadded up one of them dollars and put it in the offering plate. And he said, something said, well, one more dollar ain't going to do you no good. You're in some bad debt now. Another dollar ain't going to hurt. Why don't you just give it? And he picked out his other dollar, his last dollar, and throwed it in. And he said, the Lord blessed him. And that night when the service was over, they collected all that offering. Took it. And he said, the treasurer come up to him after church and wrote him, said, here, the offering was for you. And he couldn't even tell it without crying. And he said, I thought I was helping somebody else. And they're taking it up from me. Glory to God. See, you never know how God will shovel it in until you're willing to do what you can. Folks, I wouldn't put a strain on y'all. There's nobody in this world could make me deliberately try to hurt you. Not on purpose. We do have a need tonight. We're going to take up special offering. It's nothing major. It's nothing's wrong. We just have some extra bills. We had our parking lot paved. We had work done. We have got to have $8,000 tomorrow. And I believe God's going to give it to us. You say, where from? Don't ask me. He may have to speak to an airplane flying over. I'm serious. I mean it, brother. I told him, I said, I'll have it Monday. You say, Brother Danny, what if he can't get it? Well, I'll get it. You say, what if we ain't got it? Well, do what we have to do. Brother, I can rob a bank. Amen. I'd rather ruin my testimony than the church's. Amen. I mean, brother, we'll do what we have to do. I know where some big shots live. Amen. And we got some people in this room can pick locks. I know I'll get criticized for this, but I don't care what they say. I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. That's all that matters. We're going to have $8,000 tomorrow. I don't know where it's coming from. I know I ain't got it. I'm going to give everything I can possibly give tonight. I had a part of a bank payment in the bank to pay the bank payment that's due this week. And I'm going to give that by the help of God. That's all I've got. You know what I'm doing? I'm doing what I can. If everybody do what they can. One of the men, I told the men, I said, pray, boys, we're going to have some money. And the Lord's able to do it. We don't pressure nobody. We've never pressured nobody at this church. If you don't want it, you keep it. If you're going to give it grudgingly and then go out and talk about us, please keep it. We'll give you an offering to shut up. But if you love the Lord and want to do something for Him, that's what this offering's for. And I don't know how to take it. I ain't going to say who'll give this much, who'll give that much. But I know what we got to have. We got to have 2 or 3 people that'll give a begging, and about 15 people that'll give a pretty begging, and then a bunch of people to give a good size. That's what we got to have. And Brother Jack come running up to me and he said, Brother Dan, you come on up here, brother. We're just going to take just a minute and do this. I don't know how we're just going to pass the plates or let you come up here and put it in or ever what you want to do. But Brother Jack, I asked him to do this. I want him to...